absolute power corrupts absolutely.
What the hell's going on out here?
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field. Because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last. Bring it all day, every play. Because you know your boys are going to put on the line for you. They got your back, so you better have theirs. This is about the team. It's about pride. It's about who's the hungriest. So what's it going to be, man? You going to leave it on the field, or you going to leave it inside? You going to leave it or something in your tank? Or you going to do what champions do? Leave nothing. Leave nothing.
Hello. 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 I know everybody's so happy to hear my enthusiastic voice on 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on this fine day for football. In a lot of parts of the country, it's a crisp, tight fall day, and it's week two in the NFL and week two also in fantasy. As always, on this fine morning, I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and as always, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Lance, the NFL exporter, and where are we going to be talking about fantasy football? And among other things. And we're going to set the record straight from last Monday when a certain host decided to talk out of his face when he shouldn't have. And I'm going to set the record straight and tell you how it really is. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to Lance or me. And that's sponsored by the Fantasy Sportsbook Casino.com, just like this show. We also have a chat room open. It's open for your convenience. Lay your knowledge in that chat room. Ask a question or make a comment. You can do that also. And we will address it on the air. But without further ado, let me bring in my esteemed co-host, Lance, Mr. NFL Exporter. What's up, my man?
I'm doing well. Doing well, Jerry. Thank you to all the fans, all the listeners out there tuning in with us this morning. About to get you ready for week two and doing very well. Got some pretty big matchups already in week two of my fantasy football, so looking forward to a great show today.
So am I. And we also have the mouth, the man who talks too fast before he thinks. Mr. FSP himself sitting on the line, and he's going to get the wrath of the master. Welcome, Victor. How are you today?
FSP, why you got to introduce me like that? Am I the mouth of the South? Am I Jimmy Hart? This is just ludicrous.
Yeah, okay.
What's going on, man?
Okay.
What's going on, Jerry?
All right. First of all, let's get this out of the way, this past week's, last week's stuff out of the way, and move on. Let's get this out of the way. First of all, Lance, I listened to the program. Sorry. I had a prior engagement on Monday. Otherwise, I would have called in. I didn't get a chance to call in, but I definitely listened to the whole program last week. And Mr. Gardner said that he kicked my butt in the matchups. Which is a gross, absolutely gross misrepresentation of what took place. We had three matchups last week, and I'm not going to get to the matchup between our two teams. I'll get to that later. We had three matchups last week. And he said he kicked my butt. No, he didn't. I kicked his butt. Three matchups. He pulled one out. He pulled one out of the three. I kicked his butt in two of them, without a doubt. And he pulled one out. And he on your show, he pumped out his chest thinking he did a whole lot when he didn't do squat. And then to top it off, wait a minute. Then to top it off, he decided to, he definitely did it. He deposited what he should have in PayPal, and I thanked him, and it came to the Taylor Fund, and we do thank contributions like that. So, Victor, I'm going to give you an opportunity to backtrack, because what you told Lance, and I listened to it, was a gross misrepresentation of what took place. Talk to me, Victor.
Okay, first of all, I understand this is a master plan, so I actually am supposed to be Mr. Nice Guy, so I'll be Mr. Nice Guy.
No, you be who you are.
Here's what happened. Ladies and gentlemen, on The Point, which airs every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on blogtalkradio.com, also streaming 24/7 over at spotonradio.webs.com, I did make a proclamation. My proclamation was that I whooped up on Jerry. Now, I made that proclamation with the mindset that my Detroit players were all going to ball out. They did. They just didn't ball out quite enough in two of the three leagues. Mr. Taylor is correct. He did defeat me in two of them. He didn't destroy me or anything like that like he thinks he did. And the deposit I made was based upon my Washington Redskins losing to the Houston Texans. So I'm here just to say I was wrong, and that will never happen again. I really am wrong. But I did win $120 by placing sixth out of 3,000 out of 3,000 people at FanDuel.com.
Now you're pumping your chest. That has nothing to do with what took place between you and I.
I'm stating facts.
I got a quick question for you guys. Is this a league where you guys play twice a year, or is it enough teams in the league where you guys only play once?
Twice a year, and two of them, and one of them we're only going to play once a year. But normally it's twice a year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll be able to come back to this matchup again later on in the year to see how things shake.
Well, 2 weeks we play again. We play again in
Lance, let me tell you something here. I don't know if you watched the fight last night. The fight between Mayweather and Maidana. We talked about this fight, and I'll get back to where I'm. This is going to be right about roundabout way, but this is going to get the point what I'm going to make here. We watched the fight. If you watched the fight of Maidana and Mayweather last night, Vic and I had talked about on his program, the FSP program, at 1 o'clock on Saturday, that he said that Mayweather was going to lose. I said it wasn't going to be close.
I said Maidana got his stuff together and learned, Floyd would lose. That's what I said, but apparently
Okay. Well, and I said it wasn't going to be close. The last one was a split decision. This one wasn't close. It wasn't close. And whatever Maidana learned, he didn't apply it too well. Whatever Floyd did, he applied it even better, which I told Victor yesterday. And it's coming back to our matchups. First matchup, I won 2 out of 3. And the second matchup between these two leagues, nothing's going to change. It's going to be the same thing. Just like what last night, it's going to take place. The next matchup we have, nothing's going to change because Victor just he's not a good fantasy football player, plain and simple. But he doesn't want to admit it.
Are you serious? Are you serious, Jerry?
But that's okay. I understand. He's a younger guy. And
I'm about to jump on and take control of the board and get you, buddy.
Wait a minute. Victor, this is my show. I just muted him, Lance. Mm. I just muted Victor.
Wow.
So, So, Lance, let's move on with this show. People, here we go. We got eight games at 1 o'clock, 8 games around the 4 o'clock range. You're back, Victor, I know. And one Sunday night game. So we're going to get into these games. And if you heard me earlier, you heard Vince Lombardi saying, what the hell is going on around here? Well, there's a lot of stuff that's been going on in the NFL. All I want to do is touch on this. If you have Adrian Peterson in any of your fantasy leagues, it's a day of mourning. Let me put it that way. Because he's not going to play today, and it's up in the air on depending on if he's going to play this year, next week, the following week, or what's going to happen. Because the Minnesota Vikings are going to decide probably Monday on what they're going to do with their star player. And the NFL is probably going to decide what they're going to do with Minnesota's star player. So in the leagues that I've had Adrian Peterson, I'm kind of stuck because the fact is the rest of the league has already scoffed up Matt Asiata and Jared McKinnon from me. So hopefully you have some depth, and that's a big hit on a lot of people in fantasy because of Adrian Peterson. He was a top five pick, top four, three or four pick, and to lose someone like that, it takes a big hit on your fantasy team. Lance, your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely a big hit. This is the second straight year for me that I'm in a situation where this is a player that I have been wanting for years. Has produced extremely well. In the year that I picked, something happens. Last year, that player was Ray Rice. Prior to last season, Ray Rice had been averaging about 1,800 all-purpose yards and 9 TDs. Never was able to get my hands on him. And, of course, the year that I get him, this guy had the worst season of his career. This year, I get my hands on Adrian Peterson finally. I know I'm set at the running back position. And here he goes with this incident here. So luckily, I have some nice depth on that team. I also have Alfred Morrison, my other starting running back, but on the bench. I have Doug Martin. I have Darren Sproles. Mm-hmm. And I also went out and picked up Terrence West off the free agent wire. So I do have some capable backups. But as you said, for most people, that is simply a running back that you cannot replace due to where you picked him at and the production that you know that you usually get out this guy. I will say, though, this was rather timely for me because I had the New England Patriots defense in one of my leagues. And, it looked like AP was going to more than likely have a big day. So with him being out of the lineup, that certainly takes a little bit of stress off my shoulders as far as playing that New England defense today.
Your thoughts, Victor?
I mean, we talked about it yesterday. I really, really don't like the fact that Matt Asiata is going to go against New England, even though I think he's going to have a decent game. Last time I touted Matt Asiata, he had 3 touchdowns on 36 yards. But I do believe that Tom Brady is going to he's going to have a field day against Minnesota. But the guy I'm telling you guys to look out for is Kyle Rudolph. I heard Lance's team, he's got the infirmary over there. And I understand because I have some of those patients myself. Doug Martin, somewhat getting benched last week after having a knee injury. We'll see what he does today. AP gone. You got Terrence West. I don't know what league you're in, Lance, but I need to get in it because if they got Terrence West still on the waiver wire and you can get him, something was up. But
I picked him up, Victor, first thing. Now I did lose in week one in my Yahoo league. And so, number one, that allowed me to, be in the upper portion of waiver wire pickups, and so I think that was the only reason I was able to get him. But again, a lot of people are sleeping. They don't, they don't do their homework. They don't know what's what. And so, I was able to do actually the last couple weeks, Victor. Actually, week one, I was surprised after my draft. And you know what? It may be because my Yahoo league is a 2 running back, 3 wide receiver. So maybe the focus is on wide receivers a little more. But I actually picked up Darren Sproles. He did not even get drafted. So I picked him up last week. And then this week I got Terrence West. And as I told you, I made the mistake. I was under the impression that it was your normal format. So my first three picks were Adrian Peterson, Alfred Morrison, Doug Martin. When I looked up and seen that it was a three-receiver league, I said, dang, you know. But I still, like you said, I got some capable backups there to replace Peterson for now. But that's a huge loss.
Yep.
But that's smart move, guys, smart moves. That's all I got to say, JT. I'm going to let y'all do your show. So, all
right, here we go.
You embarrassed me enough, but I plan to
work
and take your money later.
That's much later. Anyway, here we go.
Whatever.
First game up on the docket, we're going to go to, and Macau happens to be on the line, we're going to go to one of Macau's favorite cities, and that's New York. Arizona Cardinals being hosted by the New York Giants. And now this talk, and you got to keep an eye on this because it's a 50-50 chance that Mr. Carson Palmer may not be playing for the simple fact that he sustained a shoulder injury and he was limited each day this week. So if you have Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, and unfortunately I have Michael Floyd and quite a few of my teams, you may want to temper your expectations and lower your projections on what you think that these guys may be doing because of Carson Palmer may be not as effective or may not even play. So you got to make a contingency plan if you happen to have, and I think I have him on one team, Carson Palmer on my roster. So I'm going to take Arizona. I'm going to give Lance the Giants. I would say that if you have Larry Fitzgerald on your squad and you play Michael Floyd, and I think I have him in my flex right now, one league, and I have him in my wide receiver two in the other, I would play them hope that Carson Palmer does start the game and stays in the game against the Giants, who have one of the worst pass rushers and one of the worst secondaries in the league, and I think if these two wide receivers get Carson Palmer out there, that they're going to light the Giants up. So I'm expecting at least six catches from each of these guys, meaning Larry Fitzgerald and Michael Floyd, who I'm thinking is going to be the number one wide receiver because he got so many targets. Larry Fitzgerald only got one target. I think he had three or four targets, but he only caught one pass last week. And his dad was up in arms because they were trying. He's thinking that they're trying to force Larry out because of the contract. Things happen in his contract. So, if you got these guys, you got to play them. They're top wide receivers, and in my opinion, you got to play them. Carson Palmer. Like I said, I haven't started in one league of mine, but I would temper my expectations of Carson Palmer if he's not playing. Andre Ellington, I think he's going to get about 50, 60 yards in here, catch about five or six balls, maybe about 40 yards. So he's definitely a nice flex play, running back two play for me. Otherwise than that, I got nothing. Lance.
Yeah, real quick, too, Jerry, before I tap on the Giants, because this will be very simple, very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Is the injury to Carson Palmer on his throwing shoulder, and who is the backup quarterback in Arizona?
Oh, the backup quarterback in Arizona is, oh, my God. Hold on a minute. Let me just look. I can't, right off the top of my head, I'm not sure who the backup is.
Because I think that factors in. I think if Carson Palmer, if it's his non-throwing shoulder, he should be able to make it through the game, barring no big hits, and depending on who their backup is. But while you're getting into that,
Drew
for the Stan. Giants, real simple and easy. my as far as for the Giants goes, nothing has changed since the preseason. I don't see it change anytime soon. Rashard Jennings, the running back, is the only player for New York that you should be playing with confidence. All these other guys, you wait and see. With this Giants team, with each loss, the morale, the frustration is going to continue to sink further into the gutter. Last week, the Cardinals defense, that secondary with Cromartie and Peterson, they held Keenan Allen, San Diego's number one receiver, at 37 yards. Victor Cruz may do a little better, but I don't see it happening. So the only guys that you want to play for the Giants is running back Rashard Jennings, and also if you're desperate for a tight end, Larry Donald did get red zone attempts, did have 56 yards in a touchdown. But as far as all of the other Giants, Victor Cruz, Eli Manning, Reuben Randall, whoever, Odell Beckham, stay away. There's a poison X sign on that Giants offense until you see otherwise, unless you are desperate. The only Giant that you need to have in your lineup is Rashard Jennings. These other guys, until we see a productive day, I think the stat the other day that Victor Cruz has not caught a touchdown in MetLife Stadium since 2012. And so, you stay away.
Wow.
Stay away from those Giants players, with the exception of Rashard Jennings, until you see otherwise.
Before I bring in Victor and Mikal, we talked about this in length, Victor and I, last year, and I had said that Victor Cruz needed a Hakeem Nicks. He's not a number one wide receiver. He's strictly a slot receiver. And because he doesn't have a strong number one wide receiver, he is not going to perform like he did when he did have a strong number one wide receiver. So what those people were expecting, they're not going to get. And I think this is week one was exactly what you're going to get for the most part for the rest of the year. All right, Victor, I'm going to bring you in here and get your thoughts on whatever Lance and I said, and then I'm going to bring in Mikal.
Give me a second, Jerry.
Victor?
I'm here. I was looking at something. I'm in total agreement with you guys and Lance on the Giants. I don't think you get anybody. I have Jennings only because he's going to get the ball. I would say that an individual – desperate would go after, you know, someone there in New York. I really think New York is that bad, bro. I really think they're that bad. And they're going to prove
that bad. Yep.
So.
All right. Mikal, quickly, what do you got, my man? How you been?
I've been good. Like I told y'all, in the beginning of the summer, NFC East is going to be a race to the bottom, with the Giants leading the way, followed up by the Redskins and the Cowboys. Giants, they look horrible, man. I'm absolutely in agreement. I don't think you take any of these guys on fantasy. I wouldn't even wait till they prove otherwise. These dudes look a joke. As far as the game, Carson Palmer starts. It's a cruise victory. You can lay the five. You can lay five on that if Carson Palmer plays. If he doesn't play, it's going to be a tight one. I wouldn't give up no more than two.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the next 1 o'clock game, and this should be a pretty interesting game. Detroit, who, in fact, wasted the Giants last week, is traveling down south to come to North Carolina, where they're going to be playing the Carolina Panthers, and Cam Newton making his season debut with some banged up ribs. I still like Cam Newton. I don't think he's going to run so much, but I think he's going to be able to have some targets down there in an emerging rookie who's going to be a beast. He showed out pretty well in the first game, and I think he's just going to build on that. I'm talking about Calvin Benjamin. I see him getting about 4 or 5 catches, close to 80 yards, and definitely get into the end zone. And Cam Newton's other favorite target, Greg Olsen, getting about the same thing, and also having a visit in the in the end zone. Even with Derek Anderson, Greg Olsen had a big-time game, and so did Calvin Benjamin. So they got their starting quarterback, who's a little bit more mobile, but he may not be doing it as much this week because of his knee injury. I mean, his rib injuries. But I like him to be effective in the passing game. He's not going to run that much. And I told Vic yesterday that I have a guy that I think we have a strong feeling about this guy. I really do have a strong feeling about this guy. I got to he's been banged up for years, but he's healthy. He's been healthy, and he's finally got the opportunity to be the first back out there, and for the most part, he's going to be carrying a rock, and I think he's going to surprise some people. You said it here first. I know they're going against Detroit, and that decent defensive line in Detroit against the run, but I really like Jonathan Stewart. I know guys said, oh, my God, Jonathan Stewart, yes. I like Jonathan Stewart a lot in this game. I'm thinking he's going to get at least 60, 70 yards, maybe more, and get a visit into the end zone. And he can catch the ball, so he's going to get about 3-5 catches or something like that. I'm thinking in the 15 to 20 point range in fantasy. So if you lose to Adrian Peterson, okay, and you happen to have either he's on a waiver wire or sitting on your bench, I think this is a good opportunity to slip Jonathan Stewart in here, even though he may not give you AP numbers that you're expecting, but decent numbers. Blanche, Detroit.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting here. As a whole, this is one of my top games along with the Atlanta-Cincinnati for the slate. And, man, it's a big-time matchup. As far as Detroit is concerned, all the weapons are there. And so this is a huge matchup because Carolina's defense, now last week it was Tampa Bay, and so I certainly will factor that into the equation. But based on what I've seen, Carolina, which a lot of teams, you know, and actually Carolina and Detroit's defenses, a lot of defenses, you see that in the NFL right now, they have stout front seven, meaning their defensive line and their linebackers, and a suspect or a subpar secondary. And that is certainly the case for Detroit as well as Carolina. So when I'm looking at Detroit, they have all the weapons. You have Calvin Johnson. You brought in a guy who I really love. I spoke about him on one of my shows yesterday, Golden Tate. Now you have a bona fide number two wide receiver. You have three tight ends with Pettigrew, Fourier, and Ebron. You have two solid running backs in Bush as well as Bell. Also got a couple other receivers there, Durham, Ryan Broyles. And so I'm looking to see if Matt Stafford has time, and that's a big if, because Star Lewatelli, Charles Johnson, Greg Hardy, those guys bring the pressure. You got two linebackers that can fly sideline to sideline with Thomas Davis and Luke Kelce. So I think it just comes down to protection. If Matt Stafford has time, he can pick the secondary apart. If he does not have time, which we've seen Detroit in a lot of road games, they play teams much closer than anticipated. You see them go to Green Bay. You see them go to Chicago, even though it's a division foes, and keep it to a 17-14, 20-13 type game. And so obviously, Calvin Johnson is always a start. That is one of the few players in the NFL that you never sit under any conditions. My biggest warning for this week, and one of my columns that I write for, Reggie Bush was one of my top five sits for this week. What we seen last week against the Giants is Bush was not Joyke Bell had 15 carries to Reggie Bush's 9. Now, Bush did have 6 catches for 49 yards. So I think you still have to wait to determine to see if that was just last week or is that going to be the trend. Is Bell going to get the majority of the rushes? Now, if you look at the matchup, it doesn't look good for Bush. I would sit him out. Joyke Bell right now has more value because he already was getting the goal line carries. If you look at their numbers, if it wasn't for that goal line touchdown last week, the numbers were identical. So I say this week, you start Calvin Johnson as always. Start Golden Tate. You know, I think that he is definitely a legitimate number two wide receiver, a great flex play, and you start Joyce Bell. I would sit Reggie Bush. You got to start Matt Stafford. You know, I'm quite sure. Now, if you have some better options, then by all means use them. But I say at this point in the ball game, you go ahead and start Stafford because his numbers are going to be attached to Megatron's production, and they do not have anybody in that secondary, not that too many teams do, to match up with him. And also, for the tight ends for Detroit right now, it's up in the air. It is going to take quite some time to figure out. That might be a situation where every week it's a different tight end. So none of those guys are relevant. I would also say watch the Detroit defense. I know that Jerry has said to start Cam Newton. I've seen that all across the web this week. Start Cam Newton. My on that was, I say sit him this week. Wait and see, because with that rib injury, there is no question that Ndamukong Suh, Dick Fairley, Ezekiel Ansah, look, the Detroit front seven is loaded. You got Tullock, DeAndre Levy's a beast. He started off last week, loaded up the stat sheet. He was one of the top 100 players voted by his peers. So I say I like Detroit's defense. I think that they will be able to hold things in check. So if you need a defense this week, I'm not saying start them over maybe somebody who has a better matchup, but don't be afraid. I think this might be a little bit closer than expected. And also, Jerry, that was a good jewel you dropped there. When I seen Jonathan Stewart looking better than D'Angelo Williams in the preseason, I went ahead and snatched him up. So I have better backs ahead of him, but he is sitting on my bench in my ESPN league.
Mm-hmm. Victor, you got anything to add to this or no? Victor, are you there?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I agree with it. I'm staying away from all of my Detroit Lions unless, you know, I don't have anybody to replace Matt Stafford, only because that defense is horrendous, dog, meaning that Carolina is going to be all up in their business, all up in their business. So that it's a sit for me. I just made a big trade, and I consulted Jerry about it, you know, getting Joyce Bell to back up Reggie Bush. But, you know, I would not touch them with a 10-foot pole if I didn't have to already. That's all I got.
Well, one thing I got to add before I bring Macau, that they're playing on grass. And believe it or not, people, Reggie Bush doesn't play that well. He's not that dynamic on grass compared to a back like Joyce Bell. So just think about that. Joyce Bell is a better back on grass. He's good back on both surfaces, on turf and grass. Reggie Bush plays a lot better on turf. He's not that good on grass. Macau, you got anything?
This game is a real toss-up, man. I mean, I don't see where Carolina's going to have any offense. I really don't see that. Cam needs some help, and he's coming back from being hurt. So that's a big question mark to me. There's some questions about, I guess, Detroit defense or whatever. So this is a tough game. I mean, I don't know about Reggie Bush on grass. I've seen that before, and I kind of agree with you, Jerry. I just don't know if he might show up. I mean, because there's a couple of games down there in Miami on grass that he's shown up, but you know, I ain't got nothing else on that.
Okay, no problem. Let's move on to Miami, who had a hell of a win against Buffalo. I mean, against the New England Patriots, had Tom Brady putting his face in the towel on the bench because he was so upset. And couldn't do anything on the field because Miami was all up in his grill. Going to another division rival in Buffalo, who smacked Chicago around and pulled off a surprising win in Chicago, and surprised a lot of people with the win, especially the play of E.J. Manuel. I'm going to be taking Buffalo in this, and I'm going to give Lance Miami, don't play E.J. Manuel in this. Don't play E.J. Manuel in this. Unless it's a two-quarterback league, and quite naturally, he's your second quarterback. then he can possibly put it in here because he's not going to be doing that much. He was a surprise last week. I really don't think he's going to be doing that much in this time around. This is going to be a running game. This is Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller time. I see C.J. Spiller getting into the end zone, and that's more or less a surprise because for the most part, Fred Jackson is the goal line back and the guy who's getting the touchdown. But I like C.J. Spiller, who's shown a lot of burst and shown a lot of what he can do when he's healthy, being very effective in here. I see him getting about 70, 80 yards in here, five catches. I told you he's going to get in the end zone. Five catches, about 30 or 40 yards. I see Fred Jackson getting because they split the carries in here. So I see Fred Jackson getting about 50, 60 yards, somewhere around there. Probably almost the exact same amount of receptions and yardage as C.J. Spiller does in the passing game. Sammy Watkins, he's being hurt by the quarterback play. You keep sitting Sammy Watkins until you get an effective quarterback where E.J. Manuel starts playing a hell of a lot better than he has. I understand he's a number one wide receiver, but he's not a number one or a two or three or four wide receiver or to put in a roster in your fantasy yet. I can't see anybody else other than these two running guys, these two running backs to play. And I'm going to pass the ball off to Lance for Miami.
Okay, thank you. And real quick, I definitely got to shout out my mom. She's listening in this morning. So what's up, Mom? Love you to death. And also my dad, my pops, is listening in this morning. You know, definitely get more viewers. So I got to definitely say what's up to both of them. I told them I would shout them out this morning for checking out the show. So definitely appreciate that. And, this one is kind of tricky here on paper. It should be an obvious Miami victory based on what they did last week. But as Jerry mentioned, I'm just going to piggyback. I know I have Miami. Certainly with Spiller, play him immediately because, he can be injury prone. So when he's healthy, you got to go with him. And the reason I brought him up was Miami's defense is going to be without their starting three linebackers this week. They lost Danelle Ellerbe for the year. He had a season ended last week, and then they're also going to be without Coy Misa and Phillip Wheeler. And so, Buffalo certainly, that's their main thing they want to do anyway, as you mentioned, Jerry, as far as Manuel struggles right now. And so, I'm looking at this on paper, and originally Miami's defense should have been an automatic start. But like I said, with those three linebackers out, that could potentially be an issue, considering that Buffalo is not going to pass anywhere near as much as New England did. So I don't know if the Dolphins' pass rush, Cameron Wake, is who you were speaking of, who personally was making his business to stay sitting in Tom Brady's lap last week. So I don't know if that defensive line can have that much of an impact. I still say, I'm a guy who, honestly, especially depending on what defenses you have, a lot of people aren't able to pick up a strong defense. That is the strategy week to week. Look and see what teams have a backup quarterback, like the Tampa St. Louis we'll talk about later in the show, or a weak quarterback who's starting. That would be E.J. Manuel. So the Miami Dolphins defense is certainly worth a look today. On the offensive side of the football right now, you just got to go with the two hot hands. So early in the season, there's still a lot of stuff to be determined. But obviously no Sean Moreno. He'll certainly get his touches. He is the goal line back, so you want him in your lineup today. I'm not saying start him as your number one running back. He's playing in the flex for me today. And so I think that right now he's certainly a low-end number two to a flex back. And then also Mike Wallace. We spoke about him in the preseason, how he had a subpar last year, dropped a lot of balls. Him and Tannehill missed on deep balls. He just did not play up to the contract he's being played. He looked pretty motivated out there last week. His touchdown, I don't say it was lucky, but Revis knocked the ball down, and there was enough guys around. It kind of got kicked in the air. He caught it, but nonetheless, it was good to just see him out there playing motivated and with some passion. And so I think those are the only two Miami Dolphin players that you want to start today. If you're looking for a sneak play, maybe Charles Clay, the tight end. If you need a tight end, maybe he'll get in today and pop in one. But I think this is one. You see the Bills' defense play so much better at home. man, this kind of looks like this might be one of those, you know, 20-17, 23, you know, not a lot going on. So we'll see how things shake out there. I think more than anything, maybe the field goal kickers, maybe Caleb Sturgis, the kicker for Miami, if you need one for this week, he may be able to go out and get you double digits.
Okay. Victor, you got anything we want to add?
I actually picked up Miami's defense on this one. I think it's a good idea to get them, only because of the ability for them to get to EJ. I really think that EJ is going to have a turnover-type day today. So, and, yes, Sturgis, good kicker, stuff like that. Carpenter, the kickers are going to be the ones that make the money today, in my opinion. That's all I got.
Cal.
There is absolutely no way that I can, in good conscience, take anything or anybody from the Miami Dolphins.
Really?
Really? Yes, really. Really. Because you don't know when this team, you don't know when this team is going to implode. I expect another implosion this year. Don't know when it's going to happen, but it's coming. That's why I would not touch this team at all. That coach down there, he sucks. He's terrible. He's disgusting. He should have went out along with that other Bama that was down there in Tampa Bay in Florida. He should have went out with him too. But I don't know if I could put money on Buffalo either. You know, I mean, you know, I understand this is a rival game. I agree with the. I don't know who said it. You know, you want to take the kickers. I think it was Lance. You definitely want to take the kickers in this game because they're gonna hit each other upside the head in this game. Probably 3-point game, so you can go ahead and lay two. So, yeah, I think they're going to go back and forth with field goals and stuff. Touchdowns will be at a minimal or whatever. It's going to be a good defensive. It's going to be, you know, for you good traditionalist purists that like good smash mouth, it's going to happen this game. It's going to be black and blue in this one.
I got one more thing to add to that. No Sean Marino. That's going to be a good pickup if you choose to go after him. Good pickup. No Sean Marino.
Yeah, let me put it this way. If he's sitting on somebody's waiver wire, somebody's definitely sleeping right now. There's no way he should be sitting on anybody's waiver wire. Well, you're right. But that would be, I wouldn't say a great steal, but that would be a good find if he's sitting on somebody's waiver wire and you could pick him up and put him into your lineup. If you're that hard off and you have – No Sean Marino sitting on a waiver wire. I mean, to me, that's a no-brainer. You could put him in your lineup. Definitely not your number one. Just like Lance said, RB2 or in the flex. So, anyway, let's move on to McCown and Victor's favorite team. And they're hosting, and they're going to have their home opener against the Jacksonville Jaguars, talking about the Washington Redskins, are hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Chad Henne and company. I'm going to take Jaguars, and I'm going to give Lance Washington. Chad Henne is I would say he's probably, and I know it's early, I know they said they were going to let Blake Bortles sit for a while, but I think he's on the hot seat, because what I've been reading for the last few days is that they weren't too happy with Chad Henne in the second half. The first half was fine, but for some reason when they played last week and the defense that Jacksonville was playing realized that what was going on, they pretty much shut down Jacksonville in the second half. And they weren't too happy with Henne because he wasn't stretching the field in the second half or throwing the ball downfield and taking chances like he was in the first half. So Blake Bortles may be coming sooner than most people may expect. So quite naturally, you don't play Chad Henne in this game. I really don't like him. I don't think he's got the starter capability unless, like I said, with EJ Manuel, you're in a two-quarterback lead and you have no choice to put him as your second quarterback. I do like Toby Gerhardt in here, as long as he's healthy. You know, he's dealing with a sprained ankle, but I like him for 60 to 70 yards, and he definitely can be used in the passing game, about three or four catches, maybe five catches, about 30 yards or so. And this young rookie, this guy who came out of nowhere, quite naturally, I heard about this guy, but I really didn't really pay attention, which I should have, of Allen Hurns. He's turning out to be the one of the steals of first week, to tell you the truth. I see him getting about five or six catches, close to 70 yards or so. It's a toss-up whether he or Marcus Lee, who I think is going to get about the same amount of catches and about the same amount of yards, who gets into the end zone. But that's the only three guys that I can see. And these guys, Allen Hurns and Marquise Lee, are wide receiver threes until they prove otherwise, because of it's Jacksonville and the quarterback situation. Now, if it was Blake Bortles, who likes to take more chances and I think is more of an effective passer, I think he just needs the experience. And quite naturally, in order to get the experience, you got to be in the game. So he's not in the game. But I think if they get Blake Bortles in here later on in the year or whatever, they decide that Chad Henne's not doing the job, these guys are going to move up in status, as in whether they're wide receiver three, two, or ones. Talk to me, Lance.
Yeah, I really should be telling you to start all the Redskins players with confidence this week, but I am not. And I am saying start them. So obviously DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, Robert Griffin III, Alfred Morris. Start them all. The only one you start with confidence is Alfred Morris. Not going to go into it too much. We went over it last week. Morris was able to pick up 91 yards on only 14 carries last week against a much better run defense in Houston. So I see Alfred having a big day. He's actually one of my top five starts for the week. Also got hijacked for a goal line carry last week. They elected to go with fullback Daryl Young. So easily Morris could have had 15 points instead of 9. So look out for a big day from Alfred Morris. I certainly am in my ESPN league. I'm looking for a big day from him. Now let's get to the guys where the question marks lie. Now look, Pierre Garçon was a beast for you last week in PPR, 10 catches, 77 yards. DeSean Jackson had 62 yards. RG3, like I said, this really should be a game where we're saying Washington's going to win this thing 34-6 based on what's on paper. But the Redskins offense, until we actually see it take place, you want to taper your expectations. And so, again, you start Robert Griffin III today. You start, and I guess you have a better matchup. There may be some better matchups. But, again, if these guys are going to come out and perform, this is the game to do it. Now, they are going to be without their starting tight end, Jordan Reed, but that should not be a problem because you have Andre Roberts. He may be a sneaky play for you today. He's working that slot. But I just, like I said, until I can see RG3 back with his swag, his confidence, his mojo, I'm just mad, you know, because the one thing, and actually my pops, I was surprised he had Jacksonville's defense playing last week. They got him 13 points. But that's the one thing that Jacksonville can do is rush the passer on that front line. They did bring over Chris Clemens from Seattle. They brought over Red Bryant. They brought over Jason Babin. I know those guys are veterans, but they caused Nick Foles a lot of problems in that first half. And then also you have Tyson Alulu. And so I'm anxious to see. You know, I mean, Washington has all the weapons on paper in early in the season, guys. We talked about this last week as well. These are when these subpar, average, not good teams are able to stay in ball games because it's still so early in the season. And in offense, especially when you got a team like Washington with a new offensive coordinator, you got a quarterback who is not playing confident right now. You know, I think it's going to take RG3 to have that one game, you know, throwing for 320 and maybe getting 60 on the ground and just really feeling good about himself again. So this is an opportunity, but you're just not confident Nonetheless, go ahead and start on your Redskins. And then for the Redskins defense, this was tricky. I thought about picking them up this week because, again, you got the lowly Jaguars, you know, barely any running game, two rookie wide receivers, Chad Henne. But last week they weren't able to get a lot of turnovers. And so, you know, I think this is an opportunity, if nothing else. I mean, you got to go with the Redskins at home. You expect them to win the game. So I say if you need a fill-in defense for the week, go ahead and start the Redskins. I mean, they're at home against a poor offense, and go ahead and start all your Redskins. But Alfred Morris is the guy, without question, when we get on the extra point tomorrow. I should be a very satisfied owner as long as they feed this guy the football.
Victor.
Well, of course you know what I'm going to say. Hail to the Redskins, hail victory, Raves on the warpath, fight for all DC. I agree completely with Lance. However, I believe the guy that will have the big game in Jordan's place is Niles Paul. He's a former receiver who is a tight end now. He came in and did some work last game. The only problem I see here is this. Jacksonville jumped out in front of Philly and really surprised him. And I don't know if the Redskins are going to be as complacent. You know, will they have the same type of issue? I hope not, but we shall see. There's a chance that they'll get that way. But if the Redskins want to make a statement at home with the opener, RG3 will come out and hand the rock off, and they'll do a lot of play action. But that predicates the Skins actually giving him the ball. 14 times isn't going to cut it. 14 times is not going to cut it. That's all I got, fellas. Go ahead.
Miguel.
Oh, man. This is a good one. I get to disagree with Lance, and I get to disagree with my cousin? Oh, my goodness. Woo! First off.
Yeah, some people
first off,
are.
Say what?
No, I'm saying.
Go ahead, Miguel. And
Dad on the phone.
Oh, first of all, I want to say the Redskins offense should be a little bit more prolific today. I mean, this is their chance to do so. I'm looking for the passing game to get off really, really well. So you want to start all of the all of the wide receivers that you have from the Skins, Garcon, Jackson, Roberts. If you have something in there like Lance said, I agree with that part. You want to get him in sneakily, you know. But the one player that's going to have an issue today is Alfred Morris. Alfred Morris, I don't think Alfred Morris is going to have no more than 80 yards in this game. I think Jacksonville is going to figure out a way to stuff the Skins. They figured out a way to stuff McCoy last week. I think they're going to do that to Morris. However, I think the passing Redskins passing game should get off to a better start, and it's going to look a whole, you know, drastically different than what people have been saying. And RG3 is not going to look so shaky anymore. I definitely would take that young wide receiver from Jacksonville. I think he's going to have a field day on our secondary. That's the only dude that really scares me over there. Other than that. Of course, I had to go with my Skins, but if they do not get that passing game off the ground, it's going to be a real close game. If they get that passing game going, they should be able to cover at least 7. But if not, I wouldn't even give no more than 2.
Well, I'm gonna stun all you guys. Black is listening. And he calls this his bookie upset special. And he's taken, and I have to agree with him. He's not a lock, but his bookie upset special is the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that's all I'm saying. Anyway, let's move on to
I just want to note the fact that Black is a diehard Cowboys fan. So there you go.
And just by chance, Macau. That's the next game we're going to talk about. The Dallas Cowboys going to Tennessee, who happens to be one of my surprise teams with a lot of players on here that I really like. playing the Tennessee Titans. And I'm going to take Tennessee. I'm going to give Lance the pleasure of doing Dallas. Jake Locker, okay? Ken Risenhunt, the quarterback whisperer. He revised or helped revise or revitalize Philip Rivers' career last year when everybody thought it was in the dumps. And he comes back with Jake Locker, who had a very good game and pulled off a win last week. And believe it or not, against this Dallas defense, this is fantasy. This is one of these times when a bad defense goes up against a team that has a weapons. Quarterback, running backs, wide receivers. Tennessee's got weapons on all three phases of what I'm talking about here, including the tight end. And I talked about this tight end last week. He got three catches for 37 yards, and he got in the end zone. I'm talking about Delanie Walker. You play him again here. You definitely play him again here. He's going to get about five catches, 60 yards, give or take, and he's going to get into the end zone again. Kendall Wright, big play wide receiver. He's going to get about six or seven catches. He's going to hit the century mark in this game. Young boy I'm talking about, second-year wide receiver, showing out. He had three catches for 63 yards last week. This week he gets in the end zone. He's going to have close to 80 yards and about four or five catches in here. I'm talking about Justin Hunter. And even Sean Green, everybody's been talking about Bishop Sankey. Bishop Sankey only had a handful of carries last week and really didn't do that much. Sean Green's the man. And against Dallas, against this defense, he's going to get about 60, 70 yards, and he's going to visit the end zone. So right there, you're talking about three guys that are visiting the end zone, and if you need Sean Green, for some reason you want to put him in, he could be a decent, and I'd say he could be a decent RB2 in here. He's definitely a decent flex. These other two guys, definitely RB2, with RB could possibly be, definitely wide receiver two numbers. Definitely could be a wide receiver one numbers in this game against Dallas, one of the worst defenses, if not the worst defense, in the National Football League. Talk to me, Lance.
Yeah, this should be a game. Now it's not in Dallas, so that's number one. What we've seen from the Cowboys over the past 5 to 6 years, basically since the Tony Romo era began, is the Cowboys, they're an average team. So they lose to all the good and competitive teams. They beat all the average to subpar teams. So usually I would be telling you this is a great matchup for Dallas. But number one, it's not at home. You mentioned the grass thing, Jerry. I think that certainly played into it a lot. But also, I've talked about it quite a bit in the preseason. This Tennessee Titans defense is for real. And they did have a big loss. They lost their inside linebacker, Zach Brown. He's gone for the year. He was their star inside linebacker in his third year. And they still do have Akeem Ayers, veteran Sean Phillips. You got Derek Morgan over there. So the top two guys that I like this week, I like Jason Witten. Last week, only one catch, 14 yards. I think to Tony Romo to try to get some rhythm established early. And the Titans don't have any linebackers who can cover him. However, they do have some good safeties over there with Bernard Pollard and Michael Griffith. So I think that's one you want to watch. We're looking at matchups here. But I like Jason Witten. I like him a lot today. And also DeMarco Murray. You know, he's a guy who, like some of the better running backs in the league, that even if he has a tough day running, which I don't see because Dallas has certainly made efforts to bolster up their offensive line, and I think that based on what we've seen last week with the turnovers and passing the ball from the two-yard line, I think that Murray's a guy who even if he doesn't do well running, he's still a part of the passing game. He gets the goal line carry. So you have to like DeMarco Murray to have a big game today. Now we're looking at Dez Bryant. Again, he's handcuffed to Tony Romo. And it's not going to be easy. Jason McCourty is a very good defensive back. I'm not saying he's going to shut Dez Bryant down. But Terrence Williams is a guy that you want to watch. Had 11 points last week. I'm really high on some of these second wide receivers who are playing across from studs. You know, he's playing across Dez. I mentioned earlier Golden Tate playing across Calvin. You guys really have an opportunity to take advantage of the other team's number two defensive back. So I say start all you Cowboys today. I mean, you have to. You know, they're coming off a loss. You would think that they would come out with some sense of urgency. But, again, their defense is so bad, they're obviously going to be on the football field a lot. So I say go ahead. DeMarco Murray and Witten are your guys today. And Tony Romo obviously should be looking to get back on track with Dez Bryant. But, again, Terrence Williams should be a nice play if you need it, if you're in a deeper league and need some extra help at the wide receiver position. But, again, I think that this game normally, which would be a blowout or not close, it's going to be interesting to see. This is a major matchup. Tennessee matches up with Dallas very well on defense.
Victor.
Yeah. The difference is that I actually think Tennessee is going to blow them out. I honestly think they are because the defense is horrendous. And when you look at what Romo did last week, his balls were stuck. They were just dust. If you remember Wade Wilson saying that he was having some trouble with the deep ball, you know, when he came back from preseason, this is still his preseason. Let's be honest. It still is. He's not looked that good. And, yes, Dez Bryant's fortunes are – I mean, our fortunes are tied to Dez Bryant and Tony Romo, which isn't a good thing at some point. Only thing I can say is – you know, be cautious of playing your Cowboys against a very sharp Tennessee defense. I think Dustin McCluster gets off. I mean, I know that's not a real big name or whatever for everybody to get fancy about, but I think he has an opportunity to get off because Hunter is a little nicked up. He's just a little nicked up. But other than that, yeah, I can agree with what Lance said. You play those Cowboys in hopes that they're going to play produce for you, in hopes that they'll do it for you, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm done.
I'm the cow.
Jerry, do you smell that?
What's that?
a blowout. I smell a blowout.
Okay.
I smell a blowout. I think them stars ain't going to be shining in Tennessee, Slim. I think Tennessee going to give some good Tennessee home cooking. Start everybody from Tennessee. Well, it don't even matter. This game going to be the game to keep on giving, for real. It's like, nah. I mean, you know, I like, you know, of course I'm always going, you know, go with my man Dez Bryant. You know, actually, you know, Witten is Tony Romo's safety blanket. I don't understand why. And you got Dez Bryant over there. You really could just – that dude should have 20 catches a game, seriously. I mean, because I don't see anybody – I don't see that if there's a player, cornerback out there or a coverage that you can stop him. I really believe that. But, you know, other than that, that's all I got on it. You know, look, you know, I'd go ahead and give up 10 on Tennessee in this game.
Okay. Let's move on to where we're going. We're going up to Twin Cities where, as you know, guys, Adrian Peterson has been deactivated because of the indictment on for lack of a better word, child abuse charges. His fate's going to be decided probably tomorrow or early next week, of what exactly, well, when he's going to play if he plays this year again. So with that being said, I'm going to take Minnesota, and this is going to be short because there's really not that many players in Minnesota to play. Now, a lot of the leagues I've been in, and I've had Adrian Peterson, like I said earlier in the show, that I was slower on the trigger of pulling his backups, Matt Asiata or Jerick McKinnon, and they were taken by other owners in my leagues. But those two running backs, I understand that North Turner is a guy that gets the running backs involved. If you're desperate I would probably put Matt Asiata in there. I don't think he's going to do a three touchdown performance like he did last year. I know New England was absolutely horrible against the run last week against Miami, and there were definitely plans for Minnesota to do the same thing this week, which I think they're going to do. But I'm not a big Matt Asiata fan. But this Jerick McKinnon is probably a dynamic player, a rookie in the waiting. But I would temper my expectations. If you have to put him, Matt Asiata, in it, I would put him in there as a flex and hope for the best. But if you have him, you keep him on your bench and see what happens with the results of what's going on with the Minnesota Vikings in the running back position. There's only two other guys that I could see in here that are possible plays, and I know this guy, he emerged last week with over 100 yards and was pretty dynamic, and I'm talking about Cordarrelle Patterson. He's going to be heavily involved in the offense quite naturally. New England knows that also. But in the run game and also in the passing game, especially in the passing game, I see him getting about 6 or 7 catches, 70 yards. He could go over a century mark because I think he's going to be – heavily targeted and used in this offense with a touchdown. I'm not too sure about Kyle Rudolph in this game. New England's probably one of the better teams against the tight end. I know they're going to try to get Rudolph involved, but I'm not sure. Just like St. Louis last week, St. Louis is one position that they're pretty stout against. It's the tight end position, and I see New England about the same thing. They're not the best, but they're one of the better teams against the tight end position. So temper your expectations of Kyle Rudolph. You got to put him in there because you probably drafted him as your number one tight end. You got to put him in there and hope for the best. But don't expect too much from Kyle Rudolph. And because they're playing home, I like their kicker, Blair Walsh. He's got a big leg, and he's an accurate kicker. So they may not get into the end zone that often. Meaning Minnesota, but they'll be close enough to get Blair Walsh involved and get some field goals in there. Otherwise than that, I'm passing New England off to Lance.
Yep. Well, for the Patriots, definitely looking for this offense to rebound. We know that this is a resilient bunch. Look, let's face it, sour taste got left in these guys' mouths last week after being embarrassed out in Miami. And so unlike Dallas, this will definitely be a feel-good rebound game for the Patriots. And so, look, Rob Gronkowski, he's an obvious start. He is getting back fully healthy. You definitely want him in the lineup. But the next three players I'm going to name all are going to give you excellent fantasy value all season long. They've established themselves, obviously, outside of the quarterback, but they've established themselves as the top receiving options. Along with Gronkowski. And so I'm talking about Shane Vereen, the running back. I'm talking about Julian Edelman at wide receiver. I know that Aaron Dobson and Kimbrell Tompkins and Brandon LaFell and Danny Amendola are there. You've got tons of guys to pass the ball to. But as we've seen last week, they have firmly established that Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, Shane Vereen, those are the main guys from Tom Brady is targeting in that passing game. I like Brady bouncing back today. I got him starting in my ESPN league. I like Brady bouncing back against a team that, again, may be able to get a little pass rush, but at the end of the day, inexperienced secondary. I like Tommy Guns going off of 303 TDs. And then, again, Vereen, Edelman, Gronkowski, those are the guys you want in the lineup. They're certainly going to benefit from today's game, which I'm looking at New England winning by a sizable amount, and strictly for the reason, I tell you, the timing of these events to take place are something else. I mean, last week we had Ray Rice's story coming in on Monday to kind of deflect attention away from the Bruce Levinson thing. This week, look, let's face it, the way that Miami ran the ball against New England last week, this could have been a game that Minnesota could have been in and had a good chance to win had Adrian Peterson been there. So I think the timing of these things happen is impeccable, because now you're dropping down to Matt Asiata or whatever his name is, and this makes it extremely more easier for New England to game plan defensively. And so I see you go with the Patriots defense as well. I think that Jerry hit it on the head. Not a lot of touchdowns scored for Minnesota pretty much now. I'm not saying that Greg Jennings is underrated. I like Kyle Rudolph, but I think as long as they can hold Cordero Patterson in check, and again, he's a threat. I'm quite sure you'll see him back there on punts and kicks to try to get him some extra touches. But I think this is a game as well. The New England defense could certainly find its way to some nice turnovers and probably only get, maybe possibly two touchdowns. But I think that's a good matchup as well. So I think you like New England's defense, but definitely those offensive players I mentioned, they should be in line for a big day.
Before I go to Victor, breaking news, Carson Palmer will not play. So with Drew Stanton being a backup quarterback, playing the Giants who desperately need a win, you have to temper your expectations of Michael Floyd, Larry Fitzgerald, in that passing game. I know Bruce Arians is another one of those head coaches / quarterback gurus that likes to throw the ball down the field, but Drew Stanton on the road against the Giant defense that's desperate for a win. I'm probably going to still keep my Michael Floyd in there and any other Cardinals offensive player still in the lineup. I have to look for another quarterback other than Carson Palmer to start because he's not starting. But it's a possibility that the score in the game Arizona versus the Giants is going to be a lot closer than would normally if Carson Palmer was healthy and starting. Anyway, Victor, let's talk about New England and Minnesota. Talk to me.
I really think, and I told you before, Jerry, that I think that this is going to be a game that New England should really, really win. I do like Kyle Rudolph only because, Belichick's going to focus in on Cordero. You know he is. And this is a game that Matt Castle is going to have to show up against his old team, nonetheless. You know what I'm saying? So I think that when you look at what's available out there, you want to stay away from this game. Walsh, yes, they're at home, but they're not in the dome. They're playing on a college field, which was Minnesota played yesterday, I believe, at home. So the field's probably a little slippery or whatever the case may be. I don't know. But I will say that these guys are, tough. They're very tough. And the way Miami used them last Sunday, Asiata, he's not a big pounder. He's not a big go-to guy. But there's an opportunity. There is an opportunity. And I think if you look at everything that's there, How can you not run the ball against them? Now, maybe Asiata isn't the guy. Maybe he isn't. Somebody's going to get some play. Somebody is. So all I can say is good luck to those that got Minnesota players. You're not going to get much unless you got Kyle Rudolph. That's all I got, honestly.
Mikhail.
Lock it up.
Hello?
Yeah.
I like the Patriots in this game. Patriots notoriously start slow, as evidenced last year. I'm going to say it's a certain person on this line that was just adamantly against the Patriots. But, I can understand. It took me a long time to come around to respect the Belichick name and respect the Patriots, but I've come around reluctantly, so I get it. I understand. But they notoriously start slow, and they normally, in the beginning of the year, they have a problem with Miami. So not too surprised about that last game. I look for the Patriots to adjust everything and come back swinging, and they will definitely swing a good knockout punch to the Minnesota Vikings, who deactivated Adrian Peterson this week. I that's all I'm gonna say about that. I'm go with the Patriots. Take start Tom Brady.
Okay. Let's move on to the next game on the docket here, which is Cleveland hosting the New Orleans Patriots. New Orleans Saints, I'm sorry. Patriots. The Saints are not a team that travels well on the road. Their offense does bog down. Drew Brees, for whatever reason, doesn't play well, just like probably it's outside, it's on the grass, and these dynamic players that play well on the turf just slow down a slight bit and enough for the opposition to more or less keep up with them. They're going up against a Cleveland team that is hungry for a win. Let me put it that way. And I'm going to go with the Saints on this end, which I think still Drew Brees is going to throw for over 300 yards because that's what the Saints do. They throw the ball. He's going to throw for a couple touchdowns. And I think Mark Ingram is going to run for a touchdown in this game. He's probably a decent flex, in my opinion. Probably 60, between 50, 60, 70 yards, somewhere around there. I think he gets into the end zone because of the offense and it being in the red zone. I think they hit him the ball in the goal line situations. But it's a three-headed monster in New Orleans. So these other guys are going to steal away from yardage from Ingram because that's just the way that Sean Payton's offense is. But there's no doubt. And Marcus Colston, him being healthy and resurgence, is going to get heavily involved. He's going to get about 6 or 7 catches, about 70, 80 yards in this game. All depends on where Joe Hayden decides to line up. They either try to stay with Jimmy Graham, who's really Drew Brees' main target, big tight end. I still say he gets about 60, 70, 80 yards in his game, about 6 catches, and he's a big red zone target. He'll probably catch a touchdown pass in there. And also, this young rookie, highly touted in the offseason, showed out in his first game very well. I'm talking about Brandon Cooks. I think he's got himself locked in into this offense as a starting wide receiver. 5 or 6 catches. He's going to get close to about 100 yards because he's one of these big play wide receivers, and he's got with a ton of speed. And with that, is a possibility, a strong possibility of him getting into the end zone. With that being said, let's move over to Cleveland and Lance's evaluation of that.
Yeah, definitely. This is an intriguing matchup. Jerry, you brought up a very good point. Not only are the Saints a completely different team away from home, this is definitely a team that is different on grass because they certainly thrive on AstroTurf. And so, like you said, this is another interesting stat that I've seen in regards to Drew Brees, that in his last, I believe, 5 road games in grass, he has thrown 7 TDs to 6 interceptions. His ratio, touchdown interception, as well as his yards, his yards per completion, all of that is completely different. Now, I think that what is a different element this year is it looks like New Orleans is trying to mix in the run a little bit more. They're a team that converts a lot of third down conversions, so they get a lot of extra plays. So certainly Mark Ingram could be a difference. But when I'm looking at Cleveland today, this is a defense that coming into the season looked like it had potential to be top 10. Now, last week, obviously they got down 27-3 because, as we all predicted, their offense is so bad that the defense stayed on the football field. And so I'm wondering this week, can the offense get enough going to keep some drives alive? Because regardless of how good Cleveland defense is and regardless of how Drew Brees may be bad on the road, if New Orleans is going to be on the football field as much as Pittsburgh was last week, you're going to see similar results. So I think, A, you mentioned it. There's some problems. Let's face it, New Orleans, I don't know how Cleveland is going to match up. I think that Jimmy Graham obviously can have a big day because Dontae Whitner is a hitter. He cannot cover. And Joe Hayden, it's only so many guys that he can cover. You know, I mean, if he's on Colston, that leaves Cooks, that leaves Graham, and Colston. If he's on Colston, that leaves Cooks. And so it's some matchup problems here. On the offensive side of the football, start Terrence West. I picked him up off the waiver wire. Look, when guys are hot, you got to start. You got to put them in immediately. You cannot sit around and wait for these guys. And so you know that Cleveland is going to run the football. You know that for a fact. So if you have Terrence West today, I think a number two running back, or in my league, I got him in the flex. I've got Alfred Morris and Mark Ingram starting. Stick Terrence West in your flex. We talked about him in the preseason. The first time I seen him in that preseason game against Detroit, he looked better than Ben Tate. I will say to Ben Tate's defense, it looks like Pittsburgh's run defense is horrible. And before Tate went out last week, he was gashing that Pitt D. And so Terrence West, get him in your lineup today. Go ahead and start. He should be able to get you a nice 80 yards and a touchdown on the ground. Outside of him, we talked about this. Very good job you did in your draft. Andrew Hawkins came out last week, PPR league, 11 targets, 8 catches, 87 yards. I think he's another guy who's going to be effective from that slot because the Cleveland Browns wide receivers are not good. And the guy that you want to, I would say right now, I'm extremely worried about him. I had him last year, got off to an excellent start from him. He had 5 TD catches in his first 4 games. He has not found the end zone since that time. I'm talking about Jordan Cameron. We had him in our top 10 as a tight end ranking, and I believe that on individual talent. But without Josh Gordon there, he's a completely different player. So if you have Jordan Cameron today, I would say look for some better options. If you don't have any better options, I don't see how you're starting him with any confidence whatsoever. So I think that Terrence West and Andrew Hawkins are the guys who are going to be productive. If you have to play Jordan Cameron, I think at this point you are rolling the dice with him.
Oh, man, I got to disagree. I think with Terrence Hawkins or Andrew Hawkins coming in there stretching that field a little bit, maybe they don't respect him as much as they do Josh Gordon. But I think this game will prove otherwise because they're going to have to come up and protect the run because, like you said, West is that guy. And I told you guys before, you need to go get him if you haven't got him because he's a gem. Now, how is this going to help Cameron? He's going to be able to do a lot of things that he did last year because of, coverage going opposite ways. It's going to be a benefit for him. It's going to be a benefit for him. I really believe so. Now, will Cleveland win the game? No. I think this is going to be a better-than-thought-of game. But I would play Cameron. I really would. I would play him. Go ahead.
Well, let me tell you this, that this Jordan Cameron is highly unlikely to play. He's questionable, but he's missed all 3 practices because of his shoulder, and he didn't practice at all, and more than likely when he don't practice at all with a shoulder injury that's been bothering him, it's supposed to be a game-time decision, but more than likely he will not play.
Yep, good point, well, Gary. I was just about to mention that he did not practice this week, that shoulder, so that factored in as well.
Well, mm-hmm. I don't know how Patine is with his players. I really don't. He might be one of those game time players, just like Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall was only able to jog this week, and he might play. I don't know. But Cleveland, you got to get it. I think there's an opportunity there to, take advantage of the situation. If you're in fantasy and you need a player, take a shot. You never know. I mean, the game was a 1 o'clock game, so you'll know. I mean, this is why some people like myself draft 2 tight ends. Mainly I draft 2 tight ends when I have a short bye week. But when you have a suspect player like this one, there's a reason why you do it. So that's all I got, bro.
Hey, just okay. real quick before you hop in, Mikal, if you're looking for a good tight end to stick in for this week and maybe for a while moving forward, just want to throw it out there, Jermaine Gresham for Cincinnati, Tyler Eifert, their starter. is out 8 to 10 weeks with a dislocated elbow. So Jermaine Gresham might be a nice fill-in for you.
That's a good that's a very good pickup there. I agree with that wholeheartedly, man. Wholeheartedly.
Mikal.
Yes, sir. I ain't got nothing on this one. Y'all go ahead
okay.
To the next one.
No problem. The next one is going to be Atlanta at Cincinnati, and I'm going to be taking Atlanta on this one. Matt Ryan. In fact, you probably can play Matt Ryan in this also, but the kicker. But I'm going with Matt Ryan in this game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken, last year was 8-0 at home. And now they're playing the Atlanta Falcons, coming off a shootout against the New Orleans Saints, which we called here on the show quite naturally. Everybody could have figured that out. That was going to be a shootout between New Orleans and Atlanta last week. Andy Dalton is like a night and day on the road, and especially he plays a hell of a lot better at home. I see Matt Ryan throwing for over 300 yards in this and a couple of touchdowns. These two, the dynamic duo of Roddy White and Julio Jones, I think these guys are going to get about 6 or 7 catches apiece. You've got to get them in your lineups. There's no two ways about it. And Julio more than Roddy getting into the end zone. I also see the not the running game, but the passing game being the strong suit in this. I don't see the Steven Jackson, Jeff Chris Rogers, and maybe a little Devontae Freeman doing a whole lot in the running game. They're probably going to use all three. They're going to get their scoring from the passing game through the two dynamic duo of Julio and Roddy White. So you got to get those three guys into the lineup. Ryan, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, which is definitely a wide receiver one type of guys, and Roddy White. Now, there's another guy in here that I really like, and he showed a little bit last week, and I think slowly but surely they're going to incorporate him into the lineup and into the passing game more. And this guy may be a decent fill-in for a tight end. Talking about Levine Toliolo, I'm seeing him getting about four or five catches at least in here, about 50 yards, which is a decent. He's not an elite tight end, but for a spot start on a tight end, if you need him for some reason, you don't have a decent tight end, Levine Toliolo. He's going to be used in the passing game as a relief for Matt Ryan if he can't get it to his main targets. Lance.
Yeah, this should be an interesting game. Number one, we're getting a chance to see two of the brightest young receivers. I know people compare them a lot, so get a chance to see A.J. Green and Julio Jones today. That should be real entertaining. This is an intriguing game. This is another one I mentioned to me. A lot of good games this week, but like that Carolina-Detroit matchup, here's Atlanta coming in, high-flying offense, at home last week against, obviously, at this point in the season, still a suspect. New Orleans defense this week down the road. Cincinnati defense, completely different story. They're by far way better defense than New Orleans. I think the big thing is, and maybe somebody can help me on this one, is Vontaze Burfict playing? I know that he suffered a concussion last week against Baltimore.
Yes, he is.
So he's a difference maker. That boy is a beast. And so Cincinnati's defense definitely has some nice depth at cornerback. Now, we'll say that the two starters are older. So that could be a problem, you know, with Julio Jones' speed against either Terrence Newman or Leon Hall, but they got some nice depth with Pac-Man, their first-round pick, Darkest Dennard. Reggie Nelson's a good safety, but I think pass rush, that's going to be the key. They lost Michael Johnson in free agency, and Geno Atkins is still trying to get back to 100%. He's still kind of favoring that knee a little bit, so this is an interesting matchup, but like I said, Cincinnati's defense, to me, it's another defense like Arizona where across the board may not see the names, but they're sound. I mean, they get the job done. So I wouldn't recommend starting Cincinnati's defense against Atlanta's offense. I think that's a little foolish, but I think that they can hold Atlanta, another team who struggles on the road outside in domes, outside of the dome, I should say. So I think Cincinnati's defense can hold them in check. But when we look on the offensive side of the football, start Andy Dalton. This Atlanta team really doesn't have a pass rush. Underrated secondary. You've seen what Drew Brees did to him last week. Now, they are opportunistic, but you got A.J. Green. I will say, check and see. He is playing. I don't know the severity of it. I know that A.J. Green did not practice on Wednesday, but did practice yesterday with a foot injury, so I don't know if that is something that, you know, at some point during the game. But you start Andy Dalton. I got him starting this week in place of Matt Stafford. A.J. Green, he's another guy where, I mean, it's damn near impossible to sit him down with his big play ability. So you like him today. I just wonder, though, right now, you know, Mohamed Sanu could be a sneaky play because Atlanta's got to be, teams have got to be focusing on A.J. Green with Marvin Jones not being it right now. I talked about Jermaine Gresham. He now is no longer in the workload share. I think he's a good target for you today. Atlanta, definitely, their linebackers cannot cover. And then Giovanni Bernard, he showed me last week what I wanted to see, which is kind of like some of these other running backs that you love to have on your team. Even if he doesn't get into the end zone, he is a dual threat. He got you double digits last week with what he did on the ground and through the air, and I certainly see him having success for today. So certainly Andy Dalton, A.J. Green, Giovanni Bernard, Jermaine Gresham, I like all of them today, and Mohamed Sanu could be a sneaky play if you're desperate for some help at the wide receiver position. Also, I picked up off the waiver wire this past week, Mike Nugent. This could be a game as well where, you know, teams get down the field but not able to convert on third down. So both of them, actually went out and got Matt Bryant in my other league. And so those are two kickers throughout the course of the season are going to be very productive field goal kickers.
Right. Vic?
I like Roddy White in this game. I really don't. He doesn't do well versus Cincinnati. I don't know why. He just doesn't. I do think that your boy, Matty Ice, is not going to put up four bills, not against that defense. I do like Giovanni to go off in this game. I really think he'll have a good game because they can't cover. And the run game seems to hurt Atlanta. So I like Young and Giovanni in this game. Now, Atlanta seemingly wants to do the timeshare at running back. All four of their running backs touched the field last week. Jacquez, mm-hmm. Jackson, both rookies. The one thing I want to tell everybody is don't get caught up in that Devin Hester mess. Don't do it. Devin Hester is not that dude. Harry Douglas might get more play than he does, so we'll see. But other than that, I'm going to pick Cincinnati. I don't like Andy Dalton. I don't like his situation because last week he looked terrible. I mean, literally terrible. So we'll see what happens there. That's all I got, fellas.
McCown.
Yeah, this should be a hell of a game. Oh, man, I got to agree with my cousin. I'm taking Cincinnati. I agree that Andy Dalton looked horrible. Horrible, like Charles Barkley said. Just terrible. I like Giovanni Bernard. Definitely want to start him. Atlanta's an up and coming team, but I'm still not. I'm not pulling them over to Cincinnati. I'd only give three on that one.
All right, let's move on to the 4 o'clock games now. We just finished the 1 o'clock game, the 4 o'clock game. The first 4 o'clock game we're going to go with is the St. Louis Rams visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Inside turf team visiting the team in a warm climate at Tampa Bay against a better defense and a Austin Davis type of offense. Third string quarterback playing against Tampa Bay. Quite naturally, you do not play this quarterback. And you have to really temper your expectations because there's a problem of who exactly is the running back, the starting running back in St. Louis. Jeff Fisher type of offense usually has a bell cow type of running back. but not the case here. Zach Stacy gets the start, but Benny Cunningham has been showing enough that they're not too sold on Zach Stacy. Quite naturally, if you have Zach Stacy and you drafted him higher, quite naturally higher than Benny Cunningham, you play him against this Tampa Bay defense. But I don't think he gets in the end zone. I see him getting about 80 yards because he's going to get some touches stolen from him with Benny Cunningham coming in here. Benny Cunningham is better in the passing game than Zach Stacy. If I was to do anything in here, if I had three running backs that I could start in whatever league that you're in, I would probably start, believe it or not, Benny Cunningham, especially if it's a PPR, just for that fact that he's better in the passing game and he probably can give you extra points in the passing game versus Zach Stacy, who doesn't. Otherwise than that, I liked Brian Quick last week. I don't know about this week against this Tampa Bay defense. I would rather have this. Brian Quick is not somebody I would start in here at all. I was high on him last week, but this week I'm more high on Jared Cook because of a young quarterback, and his favorite target is usually a tight end, and Jared Cook will probably be showing well out in this against this Tampa Bay defense. So if I was to start anybody and with confidence, I would say it would be the tight end in Jared Cook. I see him getting about four or five catches, at least 60 to 70 yards, believe it or not, and I think he's the only one with the possibility of getting in the end zone. I'm not a Tavon Austin. I know co-hosts on here, Vic, and he loves Tavon Austin. Why, I don't know. This guy hasn't impressed me since the day he got into this league, and he hasn't proven to do anything. Anyway, let's move on to Tampa Bay and Lance.
Yeah, this is another one that I feel like I should be saying easy victory for Tampa Bay. They got hit with the injury bug, though, pretty bad first week of the season. I know that Doug Martin, that knee, he should be playing today. I don't know how effective he's going to be. And then as well, if the game gets out of hand early, they may not need his services. So I have him on the bench today. If you need him, play him. He's a guy who's going to get the goal line carries. So I think with Tampa Bay's offense, I factor that in. You know, a guy can have 50 yards, but if he gets the goal line carries, you figure team's going to get down there at least once or twice during the game. And so I would say just be cautious. If you have some better options, you've heard some names mentioned on the show, Mark Ingram, Noshawn Moreno, Terrence West, Darren Sproles. You know, if you have some better options, stick him in there instead of Martin today, unless, you know, I don't know right now if he's 100% healthy. I haven't seen that. I know that even if he was, St. Louis run defense is good as well. It's their secondary just really poor. So it's not a given. Adrian Peterson was only able to get 75 yards last week. So I wouldn't be starting Doug Martin with confidence. I think the guy we're going to look for today is Vincent Jackson to bounce back. Janoris Jenkins is their top defensive back. But, again, you have to keep in mind, and they gave Josh McCown problems last year, that pass rush. But another big injury that took place was the Rams lost Chris Long for 2 months with ankle surgery. And so, you know, obviously Robert Quinn and those other guys are still coming, but you have now one less defensive end to worry about. So I like Vincent Jackson today. I think Mike Evans, you know, he's going to be matched up against their number two defensive back. He's somebody who could fill. I would say those were the two guys that you would want today. I know that, like I said, guard Logan Mankins, he was in the sleeve this week for practice. Don't know what his availability is. Austin Safarian Jenkins, he had a foot, so I don't know how healthy he is. So I think that they're two receivers. I think Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans are good starts today. Obviously, Evans a little bit lower down on the chart, so I think a number two, I think he can get you 50 yards in the TD or a flex or a deeper league, a three-wide receiver. I think Vincent Jackson can have a big day. And then I would say Tampa Bay's defense. Look, right now, as I mentioned, if you don't have a top defense, That's a good strategy. Week to week, go ahead, pick your matchups. Well, you got this sorry. Who is it? I don't know. There's no name third-string quarterback who's likely going to be in there. We already know this Zach Stacy. We mentioned him. I got on everybody this week. People are starting to get on the bandwagon. When Sam Bradford got hurt, everybody's raving about Zach Stacy's value increasing because he's going to get more carries. And I told everybody his value is decreasing. I moved him down on my running back rankings because teams are stacking the box and forcing teams to throw. So I think Tampa Bay's defense at home is a good look today. But they are, like I said, Michael Johnson is on a bad ankle. And they also are going to be without their starting defensive back, Mike Jenkins, lost him for the year with a pectoral injury. Nonetheless, again, this Rams offense is garbage. I would say maybe, I think Tampa's defense. And also Tampa Bay's kicker as well would be a good start today. To me, this one has Tampa written all over it unless they, you know, come out overconfident or just, you know, that offense still is trying to gel with a new quarterback in Josh McCown.
Before I go to Victor, breaking news, Greg Hardy will not play today.
I think they're doing that 18.
I just got a little bit, just a little bit easier on Matt Stafford.
Well, I'll tell you this, fellas. When you have you threw me off when you brought up that breaking news.
What is breaking news?
I know, but I forgot what we were talking about. That's the problem.
Tampa Bay in St. Louis.
Okay, Tampa Bay, St. Louis. Here we go. I like Doug Martin. I do like Tavon Austin. However, with the quarterback situation, I've really soured on that. Now, when you look at what's there, it's pretty much nothing, man, really, really. And all I can tell you guys is that if you want to play in this game, look at your receivers. Look at Evans and Alexander. Not Alexander. Vincent Jackson. That's all I can tell you because they're not going to run the ball. My boy, Mr. Quinn, 66.5 million dollars for 4 years. Just signed it yesterday. Those boys can ball up front. It's their secondary that's suspect. So my play is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers receivers. But I'm going to pick Tampa to win this game because they need to. That's it.
The cow. Okay. We'll move on. We'll go to the Seattle at San Diego type of game. I'm going to be taking Seattle, and I'm going to take quite naturally Beast Mode. Definitely play him. That's a definitely RB1 there. There's no doubt about that. Otherwise than that, I would say Percy Harvin is probably an RB2 with RB1 type of play. I see him getting a little bit in rushes, about 20 or 30 yards in a rush game, and doing his damage. It was about 5 or 6 catches with 70, 80 yards. And also, this could be a flex play because they do get this guy involved in the game plan. And if wide receiver three, if you're in a three wide receivers, you have to start. You can put this guy in that. And I would say cross your fingers, but he should be able to get you double digits. I'm talking about Doug Baldwin. But otherwise than that, I know Russell Wilson is a very good quarterback, but you never know what he's going to put up statistical wise. He'll probably throw for a touchdown, but it's a strong possibility he throws for less than 100 yards. I mean, less than 200 yards. So he's a nice player, but not for fantasy. Lance.
Yep. Phillip Rivers, Keenan Allen. I didn't do Keenan Allen on my top five sits this week because I had him on my top five sits last week against Arizona. I was right on that one, only 5 catches, 37 yards. So even though I don't have him on the list, I still told people He's going to be a productive player this year. Just the first 2 weeks matchups weren't in his favor. You want to sit Phillip Rivers? Look, let's face it. This Seattle Seahawks defense has made it its personal business to shut down elite quarterbacks. We've seen what they did with Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl. Seen what they did with Aaron Rodgers' first game of this season. Seen what they did to Drew Brees twice last year. When it comes to playing the best quarterbacks in the league, they step their game up. Defense travels. It ain't nothing but a short trip down the way to San Diego. And so you sit Phillip Rivers out. I mean, unless you are desperate and you are going to be hoping and praying. Because I will say that is the funny thing about NFL football. When teams play at home, they play better and things just happen. But if you have a better option than Phillip Rivers, and there should be somebody available. You should have a quarterback on your bench that is, and we talked about that. That's why depth. I mean, there's no reason that Russell Wilson, Andy Dalton, somebody's got to be available that you drafted who can step in for this week because it just doesn't look good. It doesn't, and as a matter of fact, there's a psychological edge because Seattle stomped a mud hole in playing San Diego in the preseason. And so somebody's got to play for San Diego. I can't tell you. I'll go with Ryan Matthews. I mean, if there's any area that Seattle's defense has proven vulnerable and they're one of the few teams in the league that are effective at stopping the run and have a great secondary. Like I said, a lot of teams have good secondary, suspect up front, or good up front, suspect. They're strong in both areas, but if there's any area that they've proven to be vulnerable, it's against the run. So Ryan Matthews, that's your only guy. You know, obviously he's going to get the goal line carry. I would say you would play with some type of confidence. Other than that, you just got to sit your Chargers down for a week. It just doesn't look good unless, like I said, again, it's a home game and just kind of good luck is on their side.
Victor.
Well, you know how I feel about it. I don't want to see anybody play. Seattle, I agree. I'm not playing nobody. I'm sitting Phillip. I'm sitting Allen. I'm sitting Antonio. I'm sitting everybody on San Diego's team. They're just a juggernaut, dude, on the real. They are a juggernaut. And if nothing, I don't see anybody in the NFL being able to stop anytime soon. With that being said, I don't think Percy Harvin's going to have the same type of game he had last week. I really don't. I think it's going to be let's just grind the ball out, let Beast Mode get some. You're going to see the secondary people come in. That's what I see, the secondary people coming in and getting points and stuff like that. So Robert Turbin and Doug Baldwin, those type of cats. If they let Russell throw, I'll be amazed because they don't need to. All they got to do is Beast Mode left, Beast Mode right, be smoked up the middle, game over. That's the first quarter. And just take it methodical. I think Phillip's going to be harassed and knocked around a lot. And they dropped a lot of balls Monday night. That was against a good defense, which was Arizona. But Arizona was missing a lot of their key defensive players. Now you're going to go home and play Seattle? Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm done with that, my friend.
Okay, let's move on to out near Lances, or I should say out near Victor, up in Northern California. Oakland is hosting the New York Football Jets, and I'm going to take the Jets, and I'll give Lance. The Jets are playing Green Bay. I'm sorry about that. Jets are playing Green Bay. So I'm going to take the Jets, and I'll give Lance the Green Bay. Two plays in here. That's all I can see. I see the running back of Chris Johnson being able to run on Green Bay, especially with the, and I forget his name, B.J. Raji not there. Chris Johnson being able to catch the ball out of the backfield with about 5 or 6 catches, 30 to 40 yards. And also run for about 60 to 70 yards with a touchdown. So I like Chris Johnson a lot this game. RB2 type of numbers, definitely a flex if you have running back depth. And I also like Eric Decker. I think Geno Smith can throw on this secondary of
Green Bay, and he's the number one wide receiver, and he showed that, that he's pretty effective with Geno throwing the ball to him. So I think he's going to be getting about 6 or 7 catches, about 70 yards, and I see him getting into the end zone. Otherwise than that, I don't have anyone else that I could possibly give you advice on, people. And I'll pass it off to Lance with the high-powered offense in Green Bay.
Yeah, definitely. Real plain and simple here. Obviously, everybody's a go for the Green Bay Packers, another team that should be able to get a nice feel-good rebound victory at home. So Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, and I actually have Randall Cobb. He was one of my top five starts of the week, not only because he is on my fantasy team, he's a big day out of him, but if you look at the matchup, again, this is unusual. Usually Rex Ryan has a good secondary. That front seven is nasty, but their secondary is very weak. They're very weak. And Dee Milliner, their top defensive back, he's battling an injury. You know, he's not 100%, but he'll be playing, but he'll be on the outside against Jordy Nelson. The Jets simply don't have anybody who can match it with Randall Cobb in the slot. So I like Jordy Nelson. I like Randall Cobb, Aaron Rodgers. The one thing we do want to watch, though, Brian Beluga's not playing. We have seen Green Bay. They have not been able to protect Aaron Rodgers. And as I mentioned, Sheldon Richardson, Quentin Coples, Calvin Pace, David Harris, Muhammad Wilkerson. The Jets definitely have some guys who can get after the passer, and so there should be more than enough opportunities where at the end of the day the numbers will add up. But you do want to watch early on in that game how effective they can be getting to Rodgers. The other guy, Eddie Lacy, I think that James Starks is a good flex play or in a deeper league, a nice play for you maybe as a second or third running back for the simple fact that Lacy's coming back off a concussion. But especially if this game gets out of hand early, they won't need Lacy services, and also they may limit some of his reps because, like I said, at this point, there's no need, you know, for these playoff teams to really just run their running backs into the ground. So James Starks may be a sneaky play. And then I like Green Bay's defense. I hate to say that because I'm playing against them today. But until proven otherwise, we've seen an inconsistent Geno Smith. One, I don't even want to call last week a good game, a decent game, because he didn't turn the ball over. He's on the road at Green Bay. Likely going to have to pass a lot to put some points up. And Clay Matthews, Julius, they're just going to be too much. So I think Green Bay's defense could also be a good play for you today as well.
All right, we're coming up against a time crunch here. We got three more games.
Skip me if you got a time crunch.
Yeah, we got a time crunch here. So I'm going to go with the Houston at the Oakland. There's two guys I want to emphasize here. One's a running back, and Arian Foster. You definitely got to put him in there. He seems like he's healthy, and he can run against the Oakland defense. And Andre Johnson, I think he's going to get into the end zone finally. I think he's definitely going to get into the end zone with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a hard guy to get into the end zone. Catches, the volume of catches and the volume of yardage, he does, but he doesn't get into the end zone. I think he does it this week. 66 catches, 80 yards. Lance, Oakland.
Yep, real quick, Maurice Jones-Drew, I do not believe he's playing today. I know he didn't practice this week with a hand injury. Darren McFadden, if you're desperate for a running back, should be able to get you some today, may break a long one. As far as the receivers go, it's a toss-up. If you're desperate, Rod Streeter and James Jones both were effective last week.
And the other sleeper I have, I'm going to mention him real quickly. He's going to get some touches this week. Latavius Murray. Let's see what this kid's going to do because he's definitely going to get some touches. And Darren McFadden is not the most reliable and healthy back. So we'll see what happens with Latavius Murray if he can carve out something for his spot. Let's move on to the next game, which is Kansas City at visiting Denver. One guy, and I'm still worried about this guy that I don't think he's going to have the year a lot of people are expecting, but I think he's going to bounce back a little bit this year. It's Jamaal Charles. I think he's going to get about 60 yards in a running game, possibly get into the end zone and get about 5 catches and 30 yards. Otherwise than that, there's nobody else that I want to really talk about on Kansas City. I'll pass it off to Lance for Denver.
all weapons to go for the Broncos. Peyton Manning, Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, Monty Ball, Denver's defense.
Okay, and last but not least, it would be the night game, which would be the Chicago Bears with San Francisco in their home opener. And it's ironic. I'm going to give Lance the choice of where he wants to go with this because this is his team. Lance, talk to me. Pick a team and we'll go with it.
Yeah, you already know. We're going to run with these Niners over here. And, man, everybody should be good to go. I think the one thing you want to watch out for is Michael Crabtree was the guy who was being picked higher. I'm seeing Colin Kaepernick with that year that he got in with Bolden last year. I think their connection is much stronger, especially Bolden has his confidence. He throws in tight windows. So Anquan Bolden, I like his numbers better than I do Michael Crabtree, even though you want him in there. Frank Gore is a go. Vernon Davis is always a start. Colin Kaepernick's a solid start, and if you have not picked him up, another guy to scoop off that free agent wire. I stressed in the preseason about handcuffing Carlos Hyde last week. Man, that guy looks good. If you've seen him running, runs very hard, was able to get a goal line carry in there last week. And then San Francisco's defense, although Chicago has weapons, you know that Alshon Jeffrey is battling the hamstring, Brandon Marshall battling a knee/ankle, and Jay Cutler is always good for a couple turnovers.
Okay. Well, with that being said, I'm going to give each one of you guys a quick 10, 15 seconds or whatever before we get out of here. I'm going to go with Lance first and then Vic.
No problem. Catch me on Twitter. Catch me on Facebook, YouTube channel, NFL Exporter. That's NFLExporter. Make sure to check in with us tomorrow, 7 o'clock sharp on the East Coast, for the Extra Point where we'll continue reviewing what we put out today. Thank everybody for listening, as always.
Victor?
It's Mr. FSP. Doing what I do for you all day, every day with my boys, JT, ATM Money, along with Lance, the NFL Exporter, and my other guys. You've been listening to The Master Plan with these two guys getting great information. I've chimed in a little bit. We'll see what happens. We're going to break it down tomorrow, like Lance said, on the NFL Exporter at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 4 p.m. Pacific Time. Like you said, it's up, it's good. Have a good Sunday, everyone.
Hopefully everyone wins. And with that being said, tune in next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Master Plan with the characters that you heard from the last 2 hours. And I'm going to pass it off and close out with hopefully what you can do this weekend and on Monday night.